So glad that you're here today. Thank you for being part of our service this morning. And we are honored that you're here. If you're a guest with us, thank you for being here today. As you came in, you should have received a program. Hopefully you got one of these inside the program with the connection card. We should ask you to take a minute to fill that out. Let us know about your visit with us here today. And as you leave today, you can drop in one of our offering baskets or offering boxes, or you can give it to me after the service, and we've got a free gift I'd like to give you. Thank you for coming to being here. So make sure you stop by and see me after the service. I mean, we are so glad that you're here. And some of you, welcome to the second service. You're a first service crowd, but you know, you just like, you woke up this morning and it's like, you know what? I've got a chance to come to the second service, maybe sleep in. Hey, more power to you. More power to you. I'm glad that works out really well for you. You know, but that's awesome. We're glad that you're here. You made it. And if you're watching online, maybe you just couldn't get here. Maybe you're just not up to it, or you're away. But thank you for watching online as well. And we've got a lot happening, you know, coming up to the, you know, next Sunday is we are celebrating here at Lake Point 14 years. And 14 years of our anniversary service next Sunday, 14 years of ministry, and we get to celebrate that next Sunday. So I hope you'll be here. Got some special things planned, and I'll be here at, next Sunday morning. And then the following weekend after that, we are at Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. We'll have communion. And then, of course, Easter is just in a few weeks away. And so make sure you get ready for that. Start inviting people. We have invite cards in the chairs. So make sure you grab that, and all these things are happening. One of the things that we love to do, we do this every year, usually around the time that we celebrate our anniversary, just to kind of remind us of, you know, that Lake Point started out of a heart of love. We started this church because we love our community, and so every year, for 1 week, we call it Love Week. And you'll see information in your program and about what's going on. And, you know, we hand out, we bless our teachers and all the schools around here, police station, fire stations, and bring them donuts, coffee, all kind of stuff there. And so it's an opportunity for you to help with that. You know, and bring, you know, if you want to be a part of that, you can let us know in the back of your connection card or see Amber in the lobby after the service. And she'll be out here by the What's Happening wall. And you can go by and talk to her and about how to get plugged in. And you'll see a little insert. You'll see how you can pray. Encourage you to pray. You know, whether you pray a walk or pray a drive, or you can pray from your easy chair, whatever that is. You know, to pray whatever that is. But here's a list of things to pray for specifically. And then on the other side is our food pantry ministry. Different things that if you'd like to consider providing and bless our food pantry that week. We also have Red Cross, you know, coming out on that Wednesday, March 20th. And so just a lot of different things here that we want to do to just really make sure that we're just kind of loving our community, loving the people around us, and so invite you to be a part of that. And then last but not least, and then we're going to pray, but it's our mission partner of the month. Every month we have a mission partner, and this month is the Calasano family, the Calasanos, Giuseppe and his wife Penny. And they are involved in the ministry of Italy. And we want to lift them up and praying for them and lifting up in prayer. And information's in the program, their website. And so check that out and see what God is doing in the heart of Italy, what God is doing there through the Calasano family. And so before we get into the message, why don't you join me in prayer? Let's pray for this family and new ministry and what God is doing in Italy. God, we thank you for the Calasanos. We thank you for the work that they're doing, the work that they're doing in Italy. And God, you know their needs. God, you know their financial needs. God, you know their physical needs, their spiritual needs, their missional needs. Whatever the needs they are, God, you know what they are. And God, we pray that you will meet them in their needs so that they can continue to impact to Italy and Sicily and in that part of the world where people's hearts are hard to the gospel, and that they will listen, that they will be receptive to the cross, and that the gospel saved them. And so we ask for their blessing of their ministry to Calisano, both Giuseppe and Penny and their family. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, well, today we're going to wrap up our series. We've been in a message series called Grace Undeserved. Grace Undeserved, and we've defined grace in different ways. But just one last time, grace is God giving you, God giving me what we do not deserve. We don't deserve his favor. We do not deserve his gift, his love, the blessings. We don't deserve any of it. But he gave it to us anyway, and that's the heartbeat of the gospel. The gospel is all about the grace that we don't deserve, but he sent his son Jesus to die for us in our place, even though we don't deserve it. And so the last few weeks, we have been looking at the different angles, different stories, you know, about grace that was so undeserved. They didn't deserve it, but God gave it to them anyway. We look at the thief on the cross. We looked a few weeks ago of the adulterous woman. She deserved condemnation, but God didn't condemn her. God gave her, you know, God gave her acceptance. We look at last week. We look at the task man, right? That time of the year, nobody liked the task man, but we look at a task guy last year, Zacchaeus. We talk about him, and we look at his life. Today, we're going to look at Peter, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. Before we jump in there, I want to kind of share a story, and I got my son's permission, you know, so just want to make sure I put that out there, and, you know, he's okay with it. And, of course, after the first service, he comes back to me and fits my story. He said, Dad, you told it all wrong. I said, okay, all right, okay. And I just, you sit back, and you let me do the talking, okay? And, so I'm going to do the story the best I know how. By the way, he's on the camera, and I got to be kind to him because he can really zoom in. And if he doesn't like what's going on here, he can zoom in and get my big nose, and it's not really good. And so I got to be kind with my story. But a couple weeks ago, you know, he's 15. He's taking a driving test. How many of you got kids? You've done the driving test experience. Okay, yeah. So you go, and I get to sit in the back seat, and the guy's driving, and the first time around, and Nathan, you know, he's driving. There's just, there were moments in the back seat that I wanted to just, you know, slap him in the back of the head. What are you doing? You know, why, you're supposed to stop at the white line. I mean, what are you doing? He just kept crossing it. You're supposed to, you know, the left turn, you're supposed to wait for that gap, you know, don't. Not too early. I know we all do it anyway, but it's a task, you know. And so he's doing all the things, you know. And the guy's over there marking it off, and there was a couple other things. And we get back to the parking lot, and I'm just holding my breath. I said, I don't know. I mean, toss a coin here. We'll see if you pass. And of course, the guy said, hey, here's the things that you got to work on, this and this and that. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. I'm just list a bunch of things that he did wrong. And then he said the words, did not pass. And he just walk out of the car, and Nathan just, you know, he's devastated. And I said, hey, it's okay. You know, a lot of people don't pass the first time. It's going to be okay. And he had such high expectations of himself. He said, Dad, I let myself down here. I can't believe I did this. I failed. And so I said, listen, we'll try it again. And so a few days later, another $75 later, I know why they failed. Job security, okay? They want your money. I mean, come on. And by the way, all the stuff that he did, y'all do it anyway. I mean, it wasn't like he was a bad driver. No one stops at the white line. I mean, if you do, you are awesome if you do, you know? So maybe I'm just a bad example for my own son. And I'm like, but I knew, hey, you got to stop at the white line. So I would review it. I said, hey, see the white line? Stop, count to three. Then cross over, you know. Don't get in the left lane too early. Don't tailgate. Don't speed. Don't go too slow. Look at both directions when you cross the intersection. So he's doing all the things, right? He's doing all this, and he's doing all right. He's making it. And then he never does this. But he took a couple of chances. Like, he pulls out in front of a guy. I'm like, what are you doing, son? I want to slap him again. I said, what are you doing? You know, I mean, we're at the end of the test. He did it 2 times in a row. And I'm just like, oh, son, you know. And so we pull in. And, of course, you know, the testing man, the guy that's doing the test, he the drama he wants to bring. I mean, he pulls out, and then he's, like, ripping out the paper, you know. And I'm like, stop with the drama, man, okay? I get it, okay? You know, just calm down, you know. But, Nathan, you're killing me, you know. So I'm sitting in the back wanting to say something, but I can't. We pull back in the parking lot, and I'm like, we failed. But I tell you what, this last mile, I'm praying. I said, God, I'm just praying for this man. I pray that you should give him a soft heart today. Lord, just let him be a kind. We need some grace. Just a little bit of grace. And so we get in the parking spot and start, you know, okay, here's all the things you did wrong, you know. And then he kind of paused there for a minute. I said, I don't know why I'm doing this. You don't deserve to pass. You deserve to fail. But I'm going to pass you anyway. And so we were like, yay! And he's all excited. I'm excited. I don't have to lose another $75. I mean, it's all great, you know. He's excited. So Nathan's at the camera. Give it up for him, Nathan. Woo! You know, it's a bit of a funny story, but here's the reality. Oftentimes, our failures are not funny. In fact, our failures, sometimes they hurt. They sting, don't they? Maybe right now in this room, you feel the weight of a decision that you made or an action that you did. And it's left you in a place of that you're not where you want to be. You've let God down. You've let yourself down. You've let others down. You made a commitment to somebody. You didn't fulfill that commitment. You made a promise to yourself and you didn't fulfill it. You broke it. You made a vow to God. And you didn't come through. You didn't go through with it. You feel like you failed God miserably. You've neglected your marriage. You know, you've neglected it when you know that you shouldn't have, but you thought it wouldn't matter. You said, fine, but now you're feeling it. You're feeling it. You're feeling the weight of that. Perhaps maybe you didn't take care of your body when you should have, and now years later, wish you could dial the clock back and say, man, I've got all these health issues, but it would have been better if I had done things earlier in life, and you've got regrets. Perhaps you're facing a financial mountain. Maybe you had some bad investment that didn't go well for you, or you accumulated debt that you shouldn't have taken on. You thought you could get a handle on things, and it just got the best of you. And you just feel like you failed, and you feel like you're in a spot where you say, man, I wish I could change things. Maybe for some of you, you had a dream. You had a dream one day of where you want to be, you know, and this idea, the pursuit, you know, you say, hey, I'm going to take the chance, I'm going to take the risk, I'm going to go for this, and years later, you regret, you never pursued it, you never took the chance, you're not where you want to be, you had a vision of where you wanted to be, and you're not there, you're not making a difference like you thought you would, or you're not making, your life is not better like what you thought it should be. You thought you would be doing some more significant things, some more meaningful things in your life. And one day you just wake up and you think, how in the world did I get here? How in the world did I get to this spot? I never thought I would be in this place. And you've let yourself down. You feel like you failed. And perhaps that's where you're at. And today we're going to look at a guy named Peter, right? And Peter in Luke chapter 22. And he messed up big time. But here's the hope, and this is what I hope that we get to today, if you're taking notes. The reality of Peter is that he deserved to be counted out, for sure. counted out. But because of the grace of Jesus, God gave him a second chance. He didn't deserve it, but that's what grace is. Grace is God giving you what we don't deserve, and God gave him a second chance. Now, for some of you, this will be a message. This will be a moment with God that will bring the hope that you need to keep going and to believe that God will bring you a better tomorrow, a better future. So the context of Luke chapter 22, Jesus just told his disciples, they just had the Last Supper. This is the night before the crucifixion. And Jesus tells the disciples at the table, tonight you will fall away on account of me. And Peter, honestly, Peter loved Jesus. He really did. And Peter said to Jesus, no, that's not going to happen. I've got your back. You know, I will not leave you behind. If anybody come after you, Jesus, they got to come through me. And Peter looked at, you know, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, tonight, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter's like, no, that's not going to happen. I will never deny you. That won't happen. And if you know the story, Peter denies Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. But we're going to see in the story a God who still loved Peter and helped him overcome his own failures. So looking at verse 54, I want you to see in the story, first of all, I want you to see two mistakes. And then perhaps when we look at these two mistakes, maybe you'll find yourself in the story. Maybe you'll see you in Peter. So look at the story, verse 54. The mob, they start to seize Jesus, then seizing him. The Bible said that they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Now, I want to stop here for a minute. This is very likely Jesus is coming into this house, and this is when the beating begins. They would start to beat Jesus in his house. So he would come in his house looking fine. He would leave his house, and the abuse and the beginning of the crucifixion and this whole process, the kangaroo court, begins. And so he's going to come out of the house looking much different. So this is where he's coming into the house, and this is when the beating begins. The Bible says that Peter followed at a distance. I want you to remember that in just a minute. Peter followed at a distance, and when some there had built or kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, they sat down together, and Peter sat down with them. So Peter, right, he's following Jesus at a distance. Now, sitting down at the enemy's camp, right, and here's the two mistakes that I want you to notice this morning. Number one, Peter underestimated his own weaknesses. Peter underestimated his own weaknesses. We need to understand this. All of us have to understand that every one of us is capable. We're all capable of doing anything wrong at any point. We're all capable of sinning, messing up, falling short, letting God down, letting others down. You know, we're capable of letting ourselves down. We are all capable of horrific sin at any moment. And my friend, the moment that you think you're not is the moment that you're most vulnerable to fail. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he said this. He said this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. He said, if you think you're standing firm, if you think you've got it together, if you think that you're untouchable, he said, be careful. Another translation, it says, watch out that you don't fall. Be careful. In other words, those of us that say, you know, I would never have an affair. I would never cheat. I would never, ever, ever, watch out. Watch out. By the way, I don't know of anyone that ever plans to fail. No one ever looked at their friend and said, hey, I'm about to blow it today. I've done many weddings in my life. I've never had a groom, never had a bride come to me and say, Scott, I think in about 5 years, I'm going to blow this whole marriage up. No one does that. We have to be aware of our own weaknesses, including myself. When I'm talking about all of us, that includes me. Don't you ever think for a second that I'm Pastor Scott is above any sin. You see, we're all capable of falling short in any way at any time. We have to recognize our weaknesses. In fact, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Acknowledging weakness is the first step toward true strength. You have to acknowledge your weakness, and when you do, that begins the path of recovery. I mean, you see this in recovery program, Celebrate Recovery, or any AA program, and many of those type of programs. The one of the very first steps is can't live in denial. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to recognize your weakness. Peter, he did not recognize his own weakness. He said, hey, Peter said to Jesus, hey, I'll never leave you, Jesus. I've got you. I'll never deny you. And then Jesus says, hey, you're going to deny me. And he did. He denied Jesus 3 times. So number one, the first mistake is that he didn't understand and embrace his own weakness. But number two, it's the second mistake that Peter made. He followed Jesus at a distance. He followed Jesus at a distance. Here's the reality. The reality is this. For every one of us here, we can choose how close we want to be to Jesus. I can't make you get closer to him. Your friend can't make you get closer to him. Your spouse can't. Only you can choose how close you are to Jesus. And you are close to Jesus as you want to be. Some people, I know, some of us here in this room, you want to be very close to Jesus. You want to seek him first every single day. You want to be in his word. You want the Holy Spirit to guide your life. You want to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. You want to serve in church. You want to be close to the action. You want to know God's will for your life. You want to follow Jesus closely because you value him above all else. The sad reality and the sad truth is this, is that many of us this morning, it's more comfortable to follow Jesus from a distance. In other words, there are many of us that would say, hey, I want all the good stuff, right? I want all the good stuff that Jesus had to offer. You know, keep me out of the hot place when I die. You know, take me to heaven. You know, I want all the blessing. I want all the good stuff. I mean, I want all those things and the comfort, but I don't want the cost of following Jesus closely. Give me all the other stuff, but I don't want to pay the price of following Jesus. I don't want to pay the price of sacrifice. I don't want to pay the price of commitment. I don't want to pay the call. I don't want to. I'd rather get the blessing, but I want to do it from a distance. And when you live from a distance, I'm going to tell you, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on so much of Jesus, what God has for you. I don't know about you, but I want to be up close. I want to be right where he is. I want to experience his presence. I want to hear his voice. I want to follow him and let him lead me. Not just on Sunday, but every day, Monday all the way to Saturday. I want him to lead me on a daily pursuit of life. And for some of you, if you are following Jesus from a distance, you are missing out. You will never experience all the goodness, all the blessings, and you are much more vulnerable. And so you see Peter, right? Mistake number one, he didn't realize how weak he was. In mistake number two, he followed Jesus at a distance. Now here's how it cost him. Let's look at verse 56. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." Look at what Peter did. He denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. Verse 58, a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I'm not. Got the wrong guy," Peter replied. About an hour later, another person asserted, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Now, what's interesting to me is that Matthew also reported this same story. You see Luke, this is how he saw it. He told how he saw it. Matthew told another version. Matthew said, a little bit more detail, that after Peter denied Jesus the third time, Matthew chapter 26, verse 74, that he began to call down curses. And he swore to them, "I don't know the man." In other words, "I swear to God, send me to hell if I'm lying." I mean, that's what Peter, I mean, this is strong language here. That's how severe this situation was. And what's so crazy is that the only person that Peter was fooling was himself. He was only fooling himself. Everybody else knew. Everybody else saw it. And if I can just say it tenderly this morning, some of you, you're in the exact place that Peter is, or Peter was. You, the only person you're fooling is you. You're the only person you're fooling. Everybody else, they're telling you, "Hey, you've got a problem." And you're like, I'm good. I don't have a problem. I got this under control. You know, I can quit anytime I want. I don't have a problem. I can quit. But the reality is, if you can quit, then you would have quit a long time ago. But you can't. You have a problem. You just have not accepted the problem. And you're living in denial. And the only person you're fooling is yourself. Some of you say, "Well, my marriage is fine. I know my wife is dissatisfied. It's not the best, but it's fine. It's fine. We're going to make it. And you're fooling yourself. Maybe it'll be fine. Maybe not. But you're not taking it seriously. The only person that Peter fooled was himself. "May a curse fall upon me if I'm lying." And that's how deceived Peter was. And three times he ends up denying Jesus. Now look what happens next in verse 50. Just as he was speaking, the Bible said that the rooster crowed. And this is so heartbreaking. The Bible said the Lord turned and caught the eyes of Peter and looked straight at him. Think about this. At this point, it's very likely that Jesus' face is all bloodied, black and blue. Maybe he can barely open his eyes. The Savior that Peter loved, Jesus would have been beaten to a pulp. It's going to get even worse from here, but he's beaten up already. And it's in this moment that Jesus, who had always been faithful, he looked at the unfaithful Peter straight in the eye, and you can just only imagine the pain at that moment. And the Bible says that Peter remembered the word the Lord has spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Now, this morning, I'm curious. When is the last time that you've wept bitterly? When's the last time when the weight of your sin has become so real that you wept, that you were broken before God? Here's what I've learned. If you're taking notes, here's what I've learned. Whenever I'm not sensitive to the horror of my sin, that's when I realize I'm following Jesus at a distance. Y'all with me? When I'm not sensitive to my sin, when I start to sweep it under the rug and it's no big deal, that's when I realize that I'm following Jesus from a distance. On the flip side is this. Whenever I'm following him closely, I will repent quickly and deeply. Why? Because I feel the weight of my sin. I feel the weight of what I've done. I feel it. That happens when you are following Jesus closely. Now, Peter went outside and he recognized the horror of his sin, that he failed. And he wept bitterly because he knew that he had broken the heart of Jesus. Now, Peter thinks, I'm done. I deserve to be counted out. Now, have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a place in your life where I feel like, God, you can't use me no more? I'm finished. This is where Peter's at. I mean, I kind of fast forward a little bit. You know, we got Jesus who dies on the cross. By the way, Peter was nowhere to be found. He's gone. We don't know where he went, but he's not around. They bury Jesus. They put him in the grave. And then we know 3 days later he rose again. When he rose again, it wasn't the men that showed up at the tomb first. It was the ladies. They showed up. Some of them were devout followers of Jesus. They went to the tomb to grieve. When they got there, they noticed that the tomb, the stone that was covering the tomb, had rolled away. And on top of the tomb was an angel. And the ladies were like, what's going on? And the angel said, he is risen. He is risen just as he said he would. And then he said in Mark chapter 16, and I just love this so much because I feel like this is where some of you might need to see. This is the grace that's so undeserving, but he gave it to us anyway. The angel said, he's risen. And in verse number 7, he said, go tell his disciples and Peter. You see, here's what I love about that. Go tell the disciples, go find them. By the way, why are you out there? Can you find Peter? He's probably somewhere in the middle of a lake fishing, because that's what he used to do. But whatever he is, find Peter. And they find Peter. He runs into the tomb. He sees the empty tomb. Eventually see Jesus. And in that 40 days before Jesus was ascended into heaven, Jesus restores Peter. He forgives Peter. He gives him a second chance. And then when Jesus had gone up to heaven, Peter is the one chosen by God to be the keynote speaker of the very first revival service called the Day of Pentecost. See, this is what I love. the guy who failed, the guy who denied Jesus is the one who preached on repentance. I saw thousands of people come to know Christ. I love that. And here's why I love it. There was nobody better qualified to preach on repentance and forgiveness than the one who repented and had been forgiven. And so Peter got a second chance. You're here this morning, you're like, I've blown it. Because of God's grace, I want to give you a second chance. It's in your greatest failure. That's when you begin to see God's greatest moment. Put that up on the screen. Your greatest failure is God's greatest moment. It's when you fail God, it's an opportunity for God to pick you back up and make you stronger. And this is what Peter's life was all about. He hit rock bottom, and God wasn't finished. He preached at the day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, he preached, and he preached, and he preached the resurrected Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel. He preached that he was a living, walking example of God's grace. And said, hey, God can use me. God can use you. They tried to shut him up. They said, if you don't stop talking, we're going to kill you. And this time he says, kill me. They put him on the cross, and as they were about to hang him on the cross, Peter cries out and said, don't hang me the way my Savior did. I'm not worthy to die like my Savior did. Hang me on the cross upside down. And so they did. Because he was willing to suffer for the one who gave it all for him. My friend, you're here, you're like, Scott, I want a second chance. How do I get that? There are two takeaways and we're finished. The first one, you have to face your failures. You have to own up. You have to own it. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. You're not going to grow. But the one who confesses and renounces them, the Bible says, you will find mercy. You will find grace. You've got to go there. You got to stop blaming. You got to get out of the blame game. You got to stop pointing the finger at everybody else. It's their fault. It's their fault that this happened. It's their fault. No. You've got to own. You got to say, it's my fault. I failed. No one else contributed. It is me. I own this. That's the starting point. That's where you have to begin. And then here's the second thing. You have to let go of your regrets. You have to let go of your past. For some of you, hey, you recognize, for a lot of us, we recognize that God forgives us. And we can accept God's forgiveness. And it's easy for us to accept the forgiveness of others. But the hardest person to forgive you is yourself. Oftentimes, we hold on to our past. We let our past, we can't get past our past. We let our past hold us back. We say, man, last time I tried it, I failed. Why would I try it again? Why would God use me again? And you have to forgive yourself. The Apostle Paul, again, he talk about a track record. His past wasn't all that great. Before you came to Christ, you put men, families in jail, killed people for their faith in Christ. And then you recognized who Jesus was, and his life changed. The Bible said over and over, Paul said, hey, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of the worst. He recognized that. And then Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 13, he said, brothers and sisters, he said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of this. I don't have it all figured out yet. But here's one thing, and it's funny because you mentioned two things, all right? But here's one thing. He said, I've got to forget what is behind, and I've got to strain toward what's ahead. I've got to put all my energy, all my focus, and I got to work for it. And I got to ignore the lies. I got to ignore the voices in my head that tells me that I can't, that I'm going to be a failure again, that I'm going to drop the ball, and I got to get back up. And I got to keep going. Because I serve a God, you serve a God of second chance. And he wants to give it to you. And then he said, I press on. I'm pressing on. Not a walk in the park. He said, I mean, this is work. I mean, there's struggles here. He said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You got to let go of the past. Because your past is holding you back. You got to get up. You got to get up and know that you have a God who wants to give you a second chance. What happened to Peter? His guilt was replaced by God's grace. And his failure got turned into faithfulness. My friend, God will do the same for you. Because we deserved to be counted out. But thank God, we serve a God who gives us second chance. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you help us today. Thank you that you're a loving and gracious God. We don't deserve it. We deserve to be counted out. We deserve death. But you give us life. We deserve condemnation. But you forgive us anyway. We don't deserve all these things. But you love us. And you send your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. You are the God of second chance, third chance, fourth chance, 1,000th chance. You never give up on us. God, there's some of us here today who need to own it. Maybe we're walking at a distance from you. Maybe today we need to come back to the place where we were following you closely. Perhaps we need to admit our weaknesses. We need to know that we can fail at any time. And that we need your strength. We need you to help us, even when we're weak. And God, I pray that we would see our sin and we will repent of our failings. I would get back up. We don't let the past hold us back. And we get moving again, pursuing after you, straining ahead, pressing on. God, you're not finished with us. We know what Philippians said, that he who began a good work in us will perform it until the day that we meet you. You're still working on us. You haven't quit on us. I pray today that we don't quit on ourselves. We get up. We get up. And we keep going. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.